This is an interview with Cyril Molyneux, who is a local Justice of the Peace, discussing his views on the role of JPs and how it's changed. It was recorded on the 10th of September 1991 at 2 p.m. as part of my history option. Are you still a Justice of the Peace?
Well, yes, but I'm not able to practice having reached the age of 72, and under the present government's legislation, Justices of the Peace, when having reached the age of 72, can no longer act in that capacity.
What age do they? Do you stop?
72.
Yeah.
I've turned 72.
And how long have you been one for?
Since 1956.
Hmm.
35 years.
How do you become Justice of the
Peace? Well, I was nominated by the local residents at the time, living at Officer, and they had a public meeting, and put my name up through the local Member of Parliament. That was the way it was done in those days, and after investigation by the police department and various other bodies, a recommendation was made to the Attorney General of the day, and the Attorney General made the appointment.
When you first became one, what duties did you perform?
Well, mostly the duties are the witnessing of documents, that's called the ministerial duties, and then there's the judicial duties, which have since been withdrawn, but at that time Justice of the Peace was entitled to sit on the bench of the
cases.
Was then known as the Court of Petty Sessions. It's now known as the Magistrates' Court, and in company with two other justices, they formed the court. At that time, the professional magistrate, which was known as the stipendary magistrate, only visited this area about once every 3 months. And the police, when they had cases to be heard at Berwick, would contact the justices to see if they would take the court, and I became one of those that were on the roster, and we sat regularly here at Berwick at those days up till about the 1970s when the stipendary magistrate came more often, and then in the last few years the present government have withdrawn the powers of a Justice of the Peace to sit in the court.
Have they changed? Is the name changed? Is it bail justices now?
No, there are the only justices they're appointing now known as bail justices, mostly bail justices. A Justice of the Peace always did have the power to grant bail, but I used to do quite a lot of it down at the police station. Now the only Justice of the Peace that has any judicial duties is a bail justice, and they are specially appointed. And they, the government are arranging special courses for them to go through, and they're appointed, and that's the only judicial duties that a justice has. An ordinary Justice of the Peace, unless he's been approved of and appointed as a bail justice, really doesn't have any judicial duties at all now, other than the only duties he has is to the witnessing of documents.
Do they have qualifications now?
No, the only the qualification of a justice now is still a recommendation to the Attorney General, but you can't become a bail justice unless you've gone through a course organised by the Law Department.
Mm-hmm. But did you have much to do with the local court?
Yes, I sat regularly here in the local court for about 15 or 16 years. In company with other justices, and sometimes, and I was the chairman of the, known as the chairman of the bench at that time. We sometimes took it in turns. And in cases where there was a criminal offence and the court had to decide whether the case, there was a case to answer, that was known as committal proceedings. I often did that on my own. I'd hear the evidence and then decide whether there was a case to answer. If there was, I would refer it to a higher court. If I thought there was no case to answer on the evidence provided, then the offender would be discharged. I did children's courts too, by consent of the parties. I'd act as a magistrate and for offenders under the age.
Was that all heard in the local?
All in the case. That was usually heard in closed court. Mm. All children's offences were heard in closed court.
Mm.
And I do this mostly in the magistrate's room rather than in the big court, in the courthouse.
Mm. How long ago did it close?
Oh, the courthouse closed about 3 years ago. And prior to that, for the 4 or 5 years prior to that, the cases were only heard by the professional magistrate, known as the stipendiary magistrate. All magistrates now are open. There are no honorary magistrates, and all magistrates now appointed, I understand, have to have a law degree, whereas previously a magistrate in the lower courts came up through the law department, usually graduated through there from a clerk of courts and then was appointed a magistrate. But the present government, for reasons best known to themselves, have legislated that all magistrates in the lower court are now drawn from the ranks of lawyers.
Mm. Do you know why they closed the local court?
There are a number of reasons. The stated reason by the government is to cut costs, two, that transport is much more readily available for people having to attend the court, either as offenders or as witnesses, and I think it was a cost-cutting measure, basically, as far as I can tell.
Over the time you were a JP, how did your power change, or what you did? Did that change during the time you were a JP? Or?
Yes. When I was first appointed, a justice granted bail. He sat in the court, dispensed justice in accordance with the sections of the acts under which the people were charged, and gave penalties up to the power which the Act would prescribe. The maximum in my time was, maximum penalties were 3 months jail for certain offences. But gradually, when the Labor government came into Victoria about 6 or 7 years ago, they gradually whittled away the powers of a Justice of the Peace to the extent now that the Justice of the Peace really has no power other than to witness documents, unless he's appointed a bail justice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a system, when I was appointed, has been going for something like 700 years. My feeling is that it hasn't improved the administration of justice in the lower courts. It's clogging the courts up.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it's certainly not saving the community any cost, because all the honorary justices, they were unpaid, they were doing an honorary capacity in most of the court work in the country and in outer suburban areas, and in some inner suburban areas, was done by honorary magistrates.
Mm-hmm.
So the question of cost cutting really doesn't seem to be working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to understand why the system has changed. It was a political decision by the present government, and for reasons that are difficult to understand, and they've never really been clearly identified by the present government as to why the system changed, other than so-called cost-cutting. And there has been stated that the system is unsatisfactory, but after my 30 years association with the system, I've not yet found any reason to believe the system is unsatisfactory. Mm. I think the contrary is the case. Most people would prefer to be judged by their peers rather than by professional lawyers.
Mm.
And that's been happening in British countries for something like 700 years.
And that's one of the arguments.
One of the other things is that in the lower courts, in the magistrates' courts, there are no points of law being decided. The lower courts, the magistrate really has to decide whether a person, as charged under this particular section of an act, is guilty or not on the evidence produced in court.
Mm.
And it really doesn't need legal training to make a decision as to whether a person has contravened an act or is guilty or not guilty on the evidence that's produced, so long as the magistrate knows court procedure.
Mm.
In the higher courts it's a different matter. There are fine points of law often have to be debated and decided, and that's where a trained lawyer really in the higher courts comes into it, so far as dispensing justice is concerned. But in the lower courts it's a different matter altogether.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, how have the cases changed from the early days to how they were now, cases that were heard earlier?
Well, the penalties have changed, Acts of Parliament have changed. What were offences in those days were perhaps not offensive offences now. Other things have brought in offences that weren't in the old days. So that's changed. The types of penalties have changed. Jail terms have given away to fines and vice versa. Penalties have increased over the years, either by statute. Some penalties are set down in the Act under which you're charged. For instance, an offence of drunkenness, the Act provided for so much for the first offence, an increased penalty for the second offence, and an increased penalty for the third offence, and then a jail term. Some Acts don't provide statutory penalties, and it's up to the court to decide what the penalty will be, up to a maximum. And so there have been some changes there, but generally speaking, and there have been some minor changes in court procedure. I can't go into details on that now, but obviously there have been some changes in court procedure, but generally speaking, the giving and taking of evidence and the general procedure in court has remained much the same over the years. The defendant is innocent until proven guilty, and that is the basis of British justice. Not like in some European countries where you're guilty when charged and you have to prove your innocence. In the British courts, the people making the charge have to prove the charge, otherwise a person, and that seems to be a better system of justice. It's far better for a guilty person to be charged to be dismissed rather than an innocent person be convicted. And so that there's nothing changed in that regard, and I hope it won't change. That's the basis of all British justice, which seems to stood the test of time since I suppose since Magna Carta, or even earlier. I had nothing to do with the court much since in the last 10 or 15 years, so I can't speak of what's going on in the lower courts now, but I think they're the main changes, mostly minor. There are changes in the taking of evidence, and the rules within the court have been modified to try and make it streamline the procedure in courts to reduce the time taken for cases. And I think there's been some improvement in court procedure. In the early, when I first started, a lot of the court procedure was fairly cumbersome and a bit ritualistic. And I think over the years, the last 30 years, courts have become a little more practical in their approach to court procedure.
Mm. What kind of cases did you hear when you first started?
Mostly the bulk of the cases that I sat on would be traffic cases. That formed probably the bulk of cases. Petty theft, petty larceny, assaults, minor assaults, domestic arguments and bashings and that sort of thing. There were some criminal offences such as forging of cheques, stealing of documents, misrepresentation. One case particularly was the desecration of the Berwick Cemetery by three drunken youths who drove into the cemetery at Berwick and ran over the tombstones. That was a criminal offence and was beyond the power of the court to dispense penalties, so I conducted a committal hearing on that, decided that there was a case to answer, and remanded them to a higher court.
Mm-hmm.
They were eventually convicted. Any offences under a Commonwealth Act could only be heard by a stipendary magistrate, a professional magistrate. And in the days when the TV licences, when you had to have a licence to have a TV, that was under a federal act. So anybody charged with having a TV without a licence had to be heard by stipendary magistrate because it was a Commonwealth Act.
Mm.
Offences under the Liquor Act could only be heard by a stipendary magistrate. Drunkenness doesn't come under the Liquor Act. Drunkenness comes under the what was then known as the Magistrates Act. The Liquor Act, people operating without a licence or having a hotel open when they shouldn't, they were all offences under the Liquor Act and could only be heard by a professional magistrate.
Mm.
So there were some restrictions on the honorary magistrate's jurisdiction.
Who did you sit with?
Locally, I sat with a number of stipendary magistrates, but when we sat as three honoraries, that I can recall that are still living, is Mr. Bill Hudson, who's in the town, Mr. John Bruce, who's now living in retirement at Mount Eliza, Mr. Gordon Blackburn, who was one of the proprietors of the Berwick Hotel and after whom Blackburn Square is named,
mm-hmm.
He's passed on, Mr. Norman Beaumont, who's the local historian, has passed on. Norman Beaumont was the first one I sat with. My first day in the Berwick Court, I sat with Norman Beaumont as the chairman and the late Mr. Albert Tonks, whose son and family still live in Berwick. There were a number of people. We used to have a roster and take it in turns, so that because the court used to sit nearly every Tuesday, every week. So to lessen the work, we'd have a roster. And about every 3 months, the stipendary magistrate would come and some of us would sit with him, or if we weren't available, well, he had the power to sit alone.
Was it only once a week?
Yes. Mm. It was never more than once a week. There were odd occasions when we'd open the court, perhaps do a special case that was urgent, a drunkenness or someone was out of jail and had to go back into jail. There were odd cases. Sometimes I'd do a court at the police station for drunkenness. Someone had been locked up all night and I'd do it next morning, fine or release them. Or sometimes they might be convicted and discharged. There'd be no penalty. And so on. Mm.
concludes the interview with Cyril Molyneux, whose information on the role of JPs and the running of the Berwick Courthouse was very helpful.